forgiveness, Jewish blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. We would ask that you bless our time, which is our special part, and see for us, bless our hearts and soul, and we worship you. In the following prayer, to you, we can go to the end of the day, for this past week, and we say the doctors and other people who should make a decision, as they continue through the journey of the transplant, we would pray that you have your hand in that. We would pray that you do the same, we would also should deserve to go there and treat this with you. Give the body and strength that it needs to grow, that you know, that you encourage your spirit, that your health is a part of your new life.
All right, we're going to take a few minutes now and introduce Brother Stone, have him come and introduce his family, and then we'll have a video about the camp, and then we'll have an offering a little bit later. Again, this morning we'll have our tithes and offerings, and then the love offering at the end of the service. I'll give you opportunity to pray about that and be prepared, and then tonight we'll do the same thing. Brother Stone, come on, brother. Good to have you with us.
All right. Well, it is a blessing to be at Harvest Baptist Church, and Pastor Cook and his wife have become friends to us very quickly. They've been an encouragement to us. Pastor Cook personally has helped me, and I just want to say that I appreciate that, and I appreciate the spirit here at Harvest Baptist Church. I have already told many people about Harvest Baptist Church and the type of people who are here. So some of you, there's stories about you floating around out there that you haven't heard yet, but I'm just giving you a hard time. We are always smiling when we come here, and that has a lot to do with you. And Pastor Cook is right. You do a very good job at being friendly. And so Lord willing, when you have visitors show up on Easter Sunday, they'll see friendly faces and want to come back. Amen? Because what an opportunity to go and be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they meet us, they meet a representative of our Savior. That's a big responsibility, isn't it? All right, well, enough about that. Let me introduce myself. I don't want to take a lot of time this morning. My name is DJ Stone. Easy to spell. My parents did that on purpose. I'm not a highly educated individual. I focused a lot of my attention and energy on hunting. I focused a lot on sports and a lot of extracurricular activities like that. So school came second or third or fourth place or whatever it happened to be at the time. So my parents shortened my name so that they would make sure that I knew how to spell it. Then I married somebody super intelligent. My wife, Emily, I always make her stand up. She makes me more pleasant to be around. I've had to travel around without her over the last couple of weeks. And you're welcome. You get to spend time with the pleasant me, if you know what I mean. And then my daughter Gwendolyn sitting over here on the end, and my son Daniel. And Daniel is 16 years old today. What a miracle. Now that is a miracle. That is a miracle. We talk about that on a regular basis. At one point in time, I believe he was 3 years old, he disappeared into a river. And I mean it, like that. He was gone. I reached down clear to my shoulder. I couldn't even see him. Grabbed him by his ankle and pulled him up like a fish. Turned around, handed him to his mother. She was like this. And so I knew from that day forward, I knew God had his hand on Daniel's life. And so we're excited to see what will happen in his life. Now, I want to introduce my family because they are a big part of what we do. And I like to brag on my kids a little bit. Because we left home, we left our church, our cousins and aunts and uncles and family members they were surrounded by, and our kids really could have given us a hard time. This was only a couple years ago, but they have jumped in and taken the ministry on as well, been a part of the team, and so wherever I go, I like to brag on my kids and just thank the Lord for them. God has graciously given us some wonderful, wonderful young people. And so I'm very proud of them, very thankful for them. I have a wonderful wife. Now, where are we from? We are from Twin Falls, Idaho, originally. We were born and raised there. My wife and I were born and raised. We spent 42 years of our lives in Twin Falls, Idaho. I tell people jokingly, when the Native American people showed up in southern Idaho, the Stone family and the McMullen family were already there, and they just had to skirt around the farms and keep on going. And, it's a little bit of a joke, but we are well-rooted in southern Idaho, and so that is where we kind of grew up, but also that is where we grew up in the ministry. I was a youth pastor for 17 years at Cornerstone Baptist Church. That is where I was trained and ordained into the ministry. And then in 2022, God began to work in our lives, my wife and I, and we knew that God was moving us on somewhere. We just didn't know where. I thought he was going to have me go and pastor a church somewhere, but that really wasn't what I had a burden to do. The youth ministry is always something that I have had a burden for. I have taken it upon my own, as my own personal purpose in life, to get the Great Commission into the next generation. And so, anyway, in 2022, that began kind of a four-year process where the Lord started to move us into the next ministry that He had for us. That involved training our replacements, and that also involved introducing us into a full-time staff role at Treasure Mountain Bible Camp in Colorado. And so that is where we are serving now. We are missionaries at Treasure Mountain Bible Camp in Marble, Colorado. Now, I would like to just take a minute and see how many people have been impacted by Bible Camp, Summer Bible Camp. If you've been to Summer Bible Camp as a young person and you made a decision for the Lord at Bible Camp, go ahead and raise your hand. Just keep it up. Quite a few people. Yes, amen. There's a lot of people. Now, how many of you did not ever get to go to a Bible camp as a young person when growing up? Okay, about half and half in here. Okay. Now, for those of you who didn't get to, I just want to say, I'm sorry. You missed out. You really did. But Summer Bible Camp has always been a ministry that has really, God has used to change lives. Treasure Mountain Bible Camp, I'm going to show you in just a moment a video, is a Bible camp that believes wholeheartedly in the local church. A Bible camp cannot, will never replace a local church. Jesus didn't come to start a Bible camp. Now, I believe He held Bible camp. We can talk about that later, but I believe He spent some time away with His disciples. That's sort of like a Bible camp setting. However, the purpose was always to build the local church. And so although we can't replace the local church, I do believe that Bible camp is an irreplaceable tool to the local church. When it is done correctly, it is an irreplaceable tool to the local church. Now, I know there's multiple Bible camps within range of Goodyear right here. I know that many people go to Eastern Arizona as well as New Mexico and some even over into Texas. Treasure Mountain Bible Camp is up in Marble, Colorado. We're going to show you some pictures, and I can't do enough to explain to you the beauty at Treasure Mountain Bible Camp. We have numerous people who are part of Bible camps all over the country, and numerous people describe Treasure Mountain Bible Camp as the most beautiful Bible camp in the nation. And that doesn't come from our description. That comes from the description of other people who travel to different Bible camps for different things. And they have described it as the most beautiful Bible camp in the nation. And I would go so far as to say maybe even the world. And I'm not exaggerating. The only way I can describe Treasure Mountain Bible Camp to you is ridiculously beautiful. Now, what makes it more beautiful than that is the purpose of Treasure Mountain Bible Camp. Every year, dozens of young people get saved. We have men called into the ministry at our men's conference. We've seen ladies get right with the Lord, and that's a miracle because most ladies are always right with the Lord. Amen? Hey, I got one amen over there. All right. We have young adults retreats, and we've had, even at our family camps, we've had men dedicate their life to full-time ministry, and their wife was right there next to them and excited about the next steps that God had for them. So I believe it is the most beautiful camp, but I also believe it's probably more beautiful because when you are in Treasure Mountain Bible Camp, God is at work. It is a special place that He has set aside for His purpose. And so that's a little bit about our family. I haven't explained everything about our family. But one thing that I would just ask you to do is take a prayer card. Treasure Mountain Bible Camp has two full-time families on staff. Both of these families work year-round to make sure Bible Camp is going to take place. And one of our mottos at Treasure Mountain Bible Camp is everything is harder at Treasure Mountain. We are completely off the grid. We're an hour and a half away from the closest grocery store. Every weekend, we have to truck in our own groceries. We have people coming from all over the country, from North Carolina to California, from Florida up to Missouri, from South Dakota over to Idaho, all the way down into Arizona. Miss Rhonda, sitting next to my wife, has built things at Bible Camp for us. Her husband has made the trek up there year after year after year to repair things. He's a mechanic. And so we have people all over the place. And in order to organize that volunteer army, it is very important that we have at least two families on staff year-round. And the camp is not a money-making machine, so therefore we must work as missionaries to raise support. And it's a little bit more difficult. I want to backtrack. Not more difficult. Different than other missionaries in that missionaries typically are either on deputation or on the field. But missionaries at Treasure Mountain Bible Camp are both all the time. We're on deputation trying to raise support, but also on the field all the time because we have so much work to accomplish to make sure Bible Camp goes on. So if nothing else, please take a prayer card. Pray for us. Pray for our family. We would covet those prayers. And those prayers make a big, big difference. And when God impresses it, us upon his heart, upon their heart to pray, I know something is happening. All right, so I'd like to show a video. Now, just so you know who you're about to meet our former director. He is also the founder. And this might be the last year that we get to use this video. We have it on schedule to make a new video. So this is kind of a special year for us. He's a big man in our hearts. He's gone home to be with the Lord. But he's gonna do a great job introducing you to Treasure Mountain Bible Camp. After that, I think, Pastor, I am finished. And then we'll be in the back. We would love to answer questions. But also this evening, I would invite you back. Not only am I preaching, but I'm going to use some slides and lay out some incredible things that maybe you can be a part of in the future of Treasure Mountain Bible Camp. God is lining out some things that within the next 10 years are absolutely miraculous. And in order for those things to take place, we're trying to share what God is doing, has done, and it just seems like the doors are going to blow wide open at any moment. And maybe, just maybe, there's somebody or some people in this room that God might lay it upon your heart in a special way to be a part of that. And it's a very special thing. So although the video will be over and I'll be done this morning, I do want to invite you back for that because I think that'll be a very exciting time for some of you. All right? Thank you.
Hello there. I'm Brother Ray Bauman. I'm the founder and director of Treasure Mountain Bible Camp up here in Western Colorado. You know, God in His greatness and His goodness has blessed us with a unique independent Baptist camp nestled high up here in the Rocky Mountains. Really, most everything that you need to know about the camp is found in our name, Treasure Mountain Bible Camp. Treasure Mountain once yielded great riches for the early miners and explorers, but it's now a place where young people can find the greatest riches of all, the riches of God's goodness and grace. Our camp is dedicated to honoring the Word of God. This stunning high country is our classroom, but the Bible is our textbook, and we emphasize the importance of it to all of our campers. Each week, the campers are encouraged to read the Word of God. And we use the Word of God extensively in all of our preaching and teaching here at camp. We want the campers to learn to love the Holy Scriptures and memorize the Word of God. Good old-fashioned Bible preaching is a hallmark of Treasure Mountain Bible Camp. We work hard to line up some of the nation's best Bible preachers and teachers and bring them in here to preach dynamic messages on the level of each camper. Finally, the last word in our name is camp. This is a residential camp setting far removed from city lights and all the distractions that make it difficult at times for folks to hear the still small voice of the Lord. Our facilities are unique and built around an Old West theme. Campers stay in log cabins or teepees, each with its own distinctive charm. Our beautiful chapel is nestled among the aspen trees and hosts many camp activities. Hiking among some of the most beautiful scenery to be found anywhere, daily games and contests that will bring a smile to anyone's face, an exciting water slide unlike any other, fishing and boating in our pristine lakes, and our ever-popular mud pit. Of course, these activities are sure to work up an appetite, and that's where our amazing dining hall and delicious food comes to the rescue. There's always good food and lots of it. If you want a snack, you can surely find something delicious in our ever-popular trading posts, along with t-shirts and souvenirs. Our highly qualified staff has a heart for God and a love to help people know the Lord more passionately. We've developed a variety of specialized camps that are designed to strengthen and to serve your church and family. For more information about the ministry, please check us out on our website at treasuremountainbiblecamp.org and see which camp might be right for you. We know that you'll be glad that you did, and we also know that you'll find that Treasure Mountain Bible Camp is truly a place set aside by the Lord to be like no other.
All right, I'm going to get the ushers to come this morning. Again, that we will be taking up a love offering at the end of the service, and again tonight, and the Stone family will be back with us tonight and present, talk more about the ministry. And for those who might be interested, also be talking a little bit about how maybe you could come and spend a few days or a week and help do some building or hauling lumber out of the forest or whatever it may be. I'll let him share more about that with you more tonight. And I'm looking forward myself to getting out there sometime for a visit as well. All right, we'll go ahead and ask God's blessings upon our giving, our tithes and offerings this morning. Brother Daryl Lear, would you please pray for us?
Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful day you gave us, Lord. Thank you for each one that's here today, Father, a special time. We can meet our fellow worker in Christ, Father, and his family, Brother Stone. Bless their ministry, Father. Thank you for each other visitor that may be with us today. And Father, thank you for each family member from Harvest Baptist Church that's here. Father, just join us, Father. Allow your grace and your glory to be shown amongst your people here. And Father, we thank you. We give you worship and honor for that. And as part of our worship, Father, we want to take up an offering, Father, to thank you and to offer to you our tithes and offerings for the furtherance of the ministries that we support here at Harvest, for our missionaries that we support throughout the world. And Father, we count it a privilege, we count it an honor, and Father, we just pray that you bless the gift and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
All right, please join us in prayer as I pray for the men, and the men pray for their pastor, and we pray for the church services this morning, that our Lord may be lifted up. And you please pray as well and ask the Lord to speak to your heart during the message. But the most important thing about the Lord speaking to your heart is what you do in response as the Lord speaks to you. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we are truly grateful for the privilege and opportunity to come before thy throne this morning. Father, we ask once again that you would do what only you could do in the hearts and the lives of your people. I pray that you would be with the men of Harvest and those men that are gathered with us visiting today. Pray that you bless their lives, encourage, strengthen them, Father. Pray that you protect and guard their heart, their mind, their ears, their tongue, Father, they may live a separated life pleasing unto the Father and be a godly example at home, at work, and in their community, and of course here in our church community. Father, bless them, use them, help them to latch on to other men around them to encourage and challenge them in the ministry. And then, Father, we thank you for our ladies of Harvest, and those ladies who are visiting with us this morning. We pray your blessings upon them. We are so grateful for our ladies who strive to be that Proverbs 31 woman. Father, we pray that you bless them in their life as they serve alongside their husband or their family. Lord, that you bless and use them. Father, we thank you for those who labor in ministry here at Harvest, from those working in children's ministries and nursery, those who are providing security outside during our services. We are so grateful for their willingness to provide a service to their church family. We pray your blessings upon them. And now, Father, we pray that you'd help me this morning. I pray that you give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Help me to be obedient unto thee, Lord, as I preach and teach the word of God this morning. And we pray there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved, and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. Bless that Christian, encourage them, maybe that's struggling and having a difficult time in their life, that you would minister and speak to their heart and comfort them where comfort is needed. Father, conviction where conviction is needed. And Lord, help us to be in obedience to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, bless, have your way in our service as we ask in the wonderful, precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Brother Sam prepares for a special this morning. I'll read from our text this morning, 3 John chapter 9 and 10, 3 John 9 and 10. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sam. I think that air conditioner kicked on, and what's what caused his notes to fall, that strong wind there blowing. All right. Happy birthday, Daniel. You have any special plans for him for lunch? You believe in pastoral authority, right? Long as it won't hurt him, it's okay for me to offer what I'm going to offer. Long as it won't hurt. You can order anything you want on the menu today at lunch and a dessert. Amen? We call it sweet 16 for girls. I don't know what it is for boys. Sour 16, I don't know. Growing spurt 16, I have no idea. But look forward to having lunch with you, young man. All right, have your Bibles this morning. We'll continue with our theme, the Diotrephes derangement syndrome. I know we're getting started a little late. For those of you who have to work and you feel bad about slipping out, I know that. Don't worry about it. You will not bother me. You will not interrupt the service. If you have to go a little bit later because of your work schedule, for those of you who work on Sunday afternoon, I do understand. Now, we've read our text, so let's get rolling. Last week, we talked about Diotrephes had negative traits. And this morning, our next point, or the first one this morning, Diotrephes had an attitude of animosity. An attitude of animosity. See, he, big shot Diotrephes, would not receive John or the other servants of the Lord. See, the problem was not his position as the leader, but his attitude of hostility toward others. The phrase here in our text, "receiveth us not," means he rejected these people. Now notice it's in the present tense, which means he continually rejected these people. He rejected them all the time. He says, "Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not." See, he would not accept them or offer any kind of hospitality. Now, this is what happens when you have the Diotrephes derangement syndrome. It's all about me. Again, Diotrephes derangement syndrome is that one that has to have the preeminence, has to be out front, has to be the center of attention. And when you become concerned about the needs of others because you are, or can't become concerned about the needs of others because you're only concerned about yourself, then you have been infected. Now, Diotrephes may have rejected these folks because he felt that John threatened the authority of the small or the group of church that he was ahead of. John did, however, have the apostolic authority over him, and he may have been resistant, possibly because he feared that he would not be the center of attention when guests arrived, and those are not good reasons. Friend, do you have or do you get grouchy or greedy because you fear others will get more attention, or that in some way you will lose control or power? I'm not talking about that grouchy in the morning before that first cup of coffee. I'm talking about the grouchy that kind of persists all day long. Does fear, loneliness, insecurity motivate you to gossip and to criticize, or in order to bring them down and to elevate yourself? Do you entertain feelings of insignificance that prompt you to try to promote yourself and to put others down? It is very possible that this was the reason Diotrephes was so harsh. He had a problem with self-security. Beloved, please understand that peace, security, and happiness are not found in any position, not found in a source of power or popularity. They are found in a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask this morning, do you know Him? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven and have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have that intimate relationship? See, Diotrephes may have had some type of relationship, but his relationship was full of negative traits, negative toward others. Diotrephes had an attitude of animosity toward others, especially when he felt like they should be at the preeminence. Look again at that text verse. John is writing, he says, "I write unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence," not did he just say he wants to have, likes that, but he loves to have the preeminence among them, "receiveth us not." And then John says, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he hath, prating against us with malicious words, and that contendeth therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casts them out of the church. Not only did he have a bad attitude, he didn't want any love offering taken up for somebody else. He didn't want you to brag about another guest speaker, missionary, or evangelist, or another Christian. It was him that was the main speaker. It was him that should have the preeminence. He didn't want to have any competition whatsoever. But notice here, as we read in verse 10, not only the negative traits and his attitude of animosity, but Diotrephes is confronted about his deeds there in verse 10. Diotrephes was way out of line, and John promised that the day of reckoning was coming. He says, remember his deeds. In other words, John would admonish and confront Diotrephes about what he had been doing and continues to do. Sometimes this is the only way to deal with problems that you have with other people or problems in the church. They must be confronted face to face. In other words, he didn't mention about writing a letter to Diotrephes. He says, I'll deal with this when I get there. This is no fun, but it is at times a necessity. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 20, 23 and 24 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Boy, it must have been hard for Diotrephes to go before the Lord in prayer to offer any gift with any conviction, realizing of how many people that he had offended or provoked or pushed aside. Dear friends, there may be moments in your life or your lifetime that you are going to encounter someone like Diotrephes. I just hope and pray that we don't become guilty of having Diotrephes derangement syndrome ourselves. You will meet problem people that create big problems. You can confront them and get to the matter and get it resolved, or you can pretend there is no problem and just kind of hope it goes away like the ostrich when he puts his head in the sand. You can confront them and get the matter again resolved, or you can pretend and hope it goes away, but understand that avoiding the problem and not dealing with it can make the problem fester and grow even worse. In fact, most people would not prefer any type of conflict because they dread it for several reasons. Now, don't misunderstand. You shouldn't go around looking for an opportunity to correct someone. You shouldn't go around looking for an opportunity to be confrontational. But sometimes, according to Scripture, we have to deal with those things that are confrontational, can be a little uncomfortable, but we also need to make sure we do it in a biblical way, in the right way when we do it. Notice here a couple things, a few reasons why people might avoid conflict. First of all, they fear rejection. They fear rejection or being disliked, misunderstood, misinterpreted, or misrepresented by others. The Bible makes it very easy about the misinterpretation. It tells us when we go to them, if they don't receive us, we're to go back again with others. And there's a Bible way to do it. So there's not only the fear of rejection, but also you might dread resentment of the offender that sometimes shadows confrontation. Resentment is demonstrated by glares, hateful looks, gossip, and slander. We don't want that to take place. Or let me be a little more personal to another. Well, I don't want to be disliked on Facebook. I don't want to get the thumbs down on my comments. That's a whole other sermon we've been dealing with on Wednesday nights. It's a shame for those who haven't been able to make it. It's a shame that people live in a world where they look to our social media for approval and acceptance as opposed to the Word of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. But it happens all the time. Rejection, resentment should not keep us from addressing things in a biblical way that need to be addressed. And then the third thing is they are also concerned about retaliation. Retaliation from the offender or the friends of the person they confront, which may include destruction of property, threats, or physical harm, and we see that today in our society because some woke crowd doesn't like what's going on, so they have a protest or go against this and they go against that. And I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. But it bothers me that I can't protest out front of the abortion clinic without threatening to be arrested, but others can protest and destroy places and nothing happens or takes place or they're afraid they might offend someone. Friends, we live in a messed up world, but they can live that way, but we need to live according to the Word of God. We need to use wisdom and realize that, hey, the only rejection we need to be concerned about is the rejection of the Word of God and other believers because we're doing the wrong thing. We don't need to be so much concerned about resentment and how people respond if we're doing it the right way in a loving way. And we don't need to be concerned about retaliation because, after all, He is my guardian. He is my protector. He is the one that guides me day by day, step by step, and He will rise up and protect me when needful, and He sees the opportunity. Dear friends, confrontation is never any fun or easy, and a glimpse through the Bible will confirm this. Let's look at a few characters in the Bible that confronted confrontation day by day. What about Noah's message? From day one up until the door of the ark was closed. And dear friends, it was not something good is about to happen to you. That is not the gospel, the word of God that he was preaching. He was warning them. They never heard of rain. They didn't know what water meant coming up. They didn't know about water falling out of the sky. They mocked him. Though he preached the word, he continued to move forward in all confrontation that he faced. And then you have Jeremiah. Jeremiah was not put into the pit for preaching, I'm okay, you're okay. This was not his message. He preached the word without apology. He confronted those as needed according to the word of God. And then we had Daniel. Daniel was not thrown into the den of lions for preaching positive thinking will move mountains. He wasn't thrown into prison for positive preaching and encouragement and sitting in your seat offering will make all your needs go away. No, he would not bow to the king. He continued to hold his testimony steadfast and moved forward in the face of confrontation, in the face of the lion's den. He kept moving forward for Christ. Noah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and what about John the Baptist? Proclaimed God's message in the wilderness, and the Bible says he was eventually beheaded because he preached, "Smile, God loves you." No, that's not what he preached. We know better than that. He, like these other prophets, preached a message that confronted sin and required repentance. Dear friends, get the sin out of your life is what these men said. And John the Baptist, he may have looked a mess. He may have looked like he had been in the wilderness his whole life. He may have feasted on locusts and wild honey. But I tell you what, when he stood up to preach, it was thus saith the Lord. And he preached repentance is needed for salvation. And dear friends, we need to understand as Diotrephes was confronted with his wrongdoings or will be confronted with his wrongdoings, we need to realize that, hey, if I am confronted by the Word of God, if I am confronted by the pastor, if I am confronted by another fellow Christian in Christ in a right way, in the biblical way, it doesn't matter how they do it. It should be done a biblical way, in a loving way. But we need to realize and think to ourselves, they love me enough to show me my error in my way. They care about me enough to say, you know, the Bible says this, but you appear to be living this. And dear friends, I'm afraid today that we live in a society that some pastors are even afraid to preach repentance, are afraid to preach what sin is in their life because they're concerned about people getting upset or offended. Dear friends, may I remind you the Word of God does offend? It's not the pastor, it's the Word of God if he's preaching from the Word of God. See, you can avoid dealing with problem people or you can take the bull by the horns and deal with them in a biblical fashion. This could be done, again, the wrong way, but it also could be done in a Christ-like manner. Confronting someone in anger, in a spirit of revenge, with an attitude of pride, with the motive of demonstrating your power, is absolutely wrong. And John wasn't doing that. He was confronting and telling Gaius, as we looked at several weeks ago. Remember, he complimented Gaius and wanted his physical health to be as good as his spiritual health because he was a godly man. And he's saying here, I need to confront the situation with Diotrephes, and I'll deal with this when I come. In other words, he's setting the pathway and getting things ready to address it because he didn't want it to be a problem with the other churches in the community and throughout their area. Dear friends, there are some good, basic, biblical concepts that can be taken if you need to go to a person about a serious matter or a problem that needs to be addressed and solved the Bible way. This is especially true in matters of immorality, sin, false doctrine, or reckless, ungodly behavior, gossip, and dissension within the church being caused. It can be done the right way. And next week, we will look at some basic principles on how we should confront sin and confront other brothers and sisters in Christ that we might help them the Bible way, not just because I'm better than you. But what does the Bible have? But for today, as we come to a close, are you a problem or a problem solver? Let me ask, according to our text, are you a Diotrephes or a Gaius? Remember, Apostle John, when he wrote, he bragged on Gaius and how well he was doing in leadership, and again, hoping that his physical health was as sharp and as strong as his spiritual health, because he was a spiritual giant and a leader within the community. Dear friends, do you have more negative traits than godly traits? You know the pros and the cons, and how you line up and you write the pros and the cons, or you write your good traits or bad traits, things you want to work on and things you want to work through, things that you want to improve. How do they balance out? Do you have more negative traits? Do you have a bad attitude? Do you hold animosity toward others? Dear friends, don't be a Diotrephes. Don't allow yourself to be infected with a Diotrephes derangement syndrome. Yes, Diotrephes had negative traits. Yes, he had an attitude of animosity. And here's what greatly concerns me. He was a church leader. And therefore, if he was living that way, and he was setting that example, I wonder how many among his congregation, his house church, were doing and following his pattern in their life. We have too many Christians today that are more concerned about looking better than others than striving to look at their reflection through the Word of God in Christ and not comparing to others. Lord, help me to be more like you. Lord, help me, instead of the Pharisee, say, Lord, you know that I am not like brother so-and-so. Lord, you know I'm much better than sister so-and-so. No, Lord, show me. Reveal to me those areas of my life that need to be sanded off, that need to be shaped away from my life. Show me that areas where there's room for improvement, where I can develop to be more like you. Before I close this morning, it's one of those just came to me. I remember when my kids were growing up, and my girls, I don't know why, but they like to play dress up. And they, when they played, not just playing dress up in their room and pretending to be whoever they were at that time, but once in a while they would come out and say, Mom and Dad, sit down over here. Here, Dad, here's Dad, put your foot up. We want to do a show for you. And they did things from wearing their Sunday dress tennis shoes and coming out with their bathing suits and doing a gymnastic routine in their church shoes and their bathing suits. And then other times they would come out and they would dress up and act like they were somebody else. It was for us to guess who they were. And it's funny because they always argued over when they dressed up and kind of copied Dad, not in a negative light, not being funny, just dressing up, looking like Dad. Why did they always have to put the pillow under the shirt when they were being Dad? I do not know. I do not know. But they would argue over who was going to be Dad and then who was going to be Mom. And they always settled out, and they always worked it out. But the point I'm trying to make is, when they got things prepared and ready, they got permission to go in the closet, they took the things they thought would make them look like Mom or Dad or some other character that they were doing on. So they'd come out and they would do their little show, and they would try to talk like me, or they'd use a few phrases and sayings that Dad was famous for saying throughout the day or throughout their life. And they would use phrases like that, or things that Mom would say, and, you know, is your room clean? Did you get under the bed? They would say things like that as they tried to dress up like Mom or Dad. Here's the point I'm trying to make.
They had a general idea how they thought mom and dad looked. They already knew the things that mom and dad said, the phrases they used. And so they used those things to mimic us, to put on a little show for mom and dad. We still laugh about it today. Here's my point. Do we know enough about Christ that we reveal his image in our daily life? Do we know enough about his word that his word comes out of our speech and our sayings and our life? Now, for the girls, it was just dress up and it was just play. But for us, it's real. Because people are watching our lives day by day. Let's not be a Diotrephes. Let's be like Christ. Let's be like Gaius. Again, I just can't get... Man, I want to develop a sermon someday just of those traits of Gaius. Man, to get the compliment from your mentor that says, I pray your health is as strong as your spiritual health. Wow, what a compliment. How are we doing today in our walk? Are we more like Christ or more like Diotrephes? Is there room for improvement? Is it always me first or is it others? Is it always me first or is it what would Jesus want? What would Christ say in my life? See, dear friends, bottom line is only you can make that decision. Only you can make that evaluation. And I trust if you've listened attentively this morning, you're thinking and praying, the Spirit of God is working in your heart and telling you there may be some things that you need to work on, or maybe there's some things, man, you're really doing well, but I think you could take it to the next level. There's some things here that you need to work on. There's some things you might need to carve out of your life that you might take it to the next spiritual level. However, the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart. We need to respond, all of us, in a way and say, okay, Lord, I want to be more like you and less like self. Let's stand together this morning for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I trust and pray this morning that there's no one here or no one listening via the internet that is infected by the Diotrephes derangement syndrome. The best cure you can have is just coming to the Lord in repentance to be saved. If you are saved, to say, Lord, forgive me and help me to be less like self, more like you. Help me to reflect the image of Christ in my life and in my speech. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. I trust and pray that you speak to the hearts of your people. And Father, once again, I pray there's anyone here that doesn't know that they're saved, is not sure about their relationship and their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, that today would be their day of salvation. May that Christian who is struggling in some areas and maybe feels like that maybe I have been infected by this Diotrephes derangement syndrome, my traits are more like the world and less like Christ, and I need to make some adjustments. Father, help them to yield themselves to you that you might help them in their walk. And we'll be careful to praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, or a pianist is playing. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning in any shape, form, or fashion, you do business with the Lord where you stand or here at an altar. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, all you have to do is come forward and we'll pray with you. We'll get someone to pray with you. But I want you to listen as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. You do business with God this morning. Some have come to pray and others may need to. Being played, I surrender all. Is there any part that we're holding back, or are we totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus? All right, all hearts and minds are clear. You can be seated. We'll be just a couple more minutes. Brother Darrell, if you'll come, we'll take up a love offering for the Stone family. Don't forget, next week we'll go a little, stay on this topic a little more, and we'll talk a little bit about some principles for confrontation, how to deal with confrontation. But everything comes in this morning. Please make out the check to Harvest, and we'll just do one check, Harvest Baptist Church, for the Stone family. And again, everything that comes in, whether it be cash, envelope, or check, will go directly to the Stone family. We'll do that again tonight, and if you're not prepared tonight, or this morning, just let me know. You can always go online giving later this week, but just let me know ahead of time if you would. But let's go ahead and ask God's blessings on the offering. Who's mic'd up? No one's mic'd up. Okay, I'll go ahead and pray this morning. Father, again, we love you so much, and thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Pray the word of God would continue to speak to the hearts of your people this morning. Father, help us to be generous as our giving, as your word teaches, Lord. The tithe is a debt we owe, but an offering is a seed that we sow. Thank you for your abundance of blessings upon us. Help us also to be loving in our giving this morning to the Stone family. Again, it's so good to have them with us, and look forward to hearing from them again tonight. Now, bless the offering, we ask once again, in Jesus' name, amen.